Okay, let's start the meeting. So I'll call it to order. I'm John Lindman. I'm a co-chair and I live in the Hidden Springs area. Been a member of the Park Board for a while.
I'm Vicki Handy. I am a member of the Parks Board, co-chair, and I'm part of the Willamette neighborhood.
I'm Stacy Epstein and I live in Robinwood area.
Kevin Bonington, Westland City Council liaison to this group.
Diana Lavery, Park and Recreation Board, and I live in Tanner Basin.
Tara Winken, staff.
Aaron Wise, planner, City of Westland.
Chris Owens, Prab member, Robinwood neighborhood.
Megan Pickjohn, staff.
Okay, cool. So tonight's agenda, I guess there's a change.
Yes, we wanted to see, it was my error that the Arts and Culture Commission has something to share with Prab, and then we were going to do that after Darren Weiss's presentations, so if that would be okay with you.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay.
So I'll add that. Anything else? Okay, with the agenda?
Just want to add to the end of the meeting to celebrate our great director, Megan Pickjohn. So after our meeting, little celebration.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay.
Right, motion to approve.
Okay. All right, all in favor? Aye. Okay, cool. Summary notes from the last meeting. I actually looked at those. They looked okay to me, but we okay? Move to approve. All right, all those in favor? Aye. Okay, good.
Do you have any community comments who are not already on our agenda?
Okay. Hi, Shannon Knight. I am here representing the Willamette River Pickleball Club. I just joined the board, so I know you guys had a big discussion on pickleball, and I was supposed to come last month, but I got really sick. And so I just couldn't do it.
I'm so sorry. I missed your name and who you're representing.
Shannon Knight and Willamette River Pickleball Club. Well, I'm here on two things, but that's the main one. So I know Megan's had a talk with Eric, who's also on our board, about repaving the courts and this year, and then or sealing them this year, fixing the cracks this year, and then repaving them next year. But I also am thinking of, you know, our club can help with the cost, defray the cost by fundraising. So I just wanted to make sure it was okay. I was thinking of putting on a tournament this year to help fundraise, but that would mean I would need the courts for like two full days. So I wanted to make sure that was something that would be potentially okay for that. Totally on another topic, because I know we play at Hammerlee, which isn't a problem, but I know you guys have had issues with Tanner Creek or whatever. And so I thought I would throw this out there so you guys know that there are things called quiet paddles. And just because I started playing with people with quiet paddles at Pickleball Kingdom indoors right now, I'm a member there, and they're really hard to play with those people, because you literally cannot hear the ball at all when they hit it. Like I don't know they hit it. So I have to watch the ball so carefully because you can't hear them hit it. They're like felt covered. They're like covered, the paddles are covered in felt. So if you ever want to reconsider more pickleball up there, City of Laguna Beach has gone to quiet paddles, where you can only play if you have quiet paddles. And so it might be something you guys reconsider up there. So I thought I'd throw that out there too, because I just started playing pickleball a year ago and become real. I understand why people get addicted. I tried to hold off not playing for a long time because I have a lot of customers that are pickleball players and that were trying to convince me. And I was like, oh, but I finally bought into it. And so it's just a great, great way for people to get out, especially older people. Like you can play from 80 to 8 to 80, you know, like you can play with your kids and still be competitive. I think the Pickleball Club wants to do a learn to play one day so that families can come and learn to play together and stuff like that. So just a great sport. You could come and just meet a bunch of people. If you're my dad, you know, my mom just passed away a couple years ago, and, you know, my dad is by himself, and it's a good way to get out and just meet people. And so gets out of the house and do something active. So just my plug. Also here, because I also ski in the water ski team. So another thing to throw out there for you guys. I don't know if you guys know where our dock is, but it's like at the end of that pathway in Willamette Park. At some point in the future, we would like to kind of clear out some of that brush there, maybe put some more picnic tables, and do some home shows. A lot of water ski shows, so water ski teams on the rest of the country do what they call home shows. So shows right in there at their home dock there, because I know we perform at the parade every year, but if we could do more shows, bring some more people down, have enough, you know, more shows than just the old time fair, I guess. Just throwing that out there too as a potential. That's it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It went a little over.
It's all right.
Are there any other community comments that are not going to
David Dodds, did you want to comment?
All right, then city council update. Kevin?
Oh boy. Well, I will stick to, I guess, just the launch of Framing Our Future, which a newsletter email just went out in the last 45 minutes, which you should all see, which is a letter from City Council. It is sort of kicking off the activity, the initiative. In the first phase, in which we are going to be really trying to provoke everyone to give us their opinion on what the city and services and future of this place should really look like, what their expectations of those things are, and just discuss that on an even baseline without complicating it with money or context or anything. Just what is it about this place that you like? What would you like to see improved? What is your vision for it? And once we're sure we have enough of an audience with that and enough participation, we'll go deeper into it. But for now, that is where we're beginning. And you will see all sorts of stuff popping up all over the place that should be hard to miss. If you haven't seen it within about 2 or 3 weeks, then we have a bigger problem. But for now, I think we're getting off to a good start, and I'm very excited because I've personally been working on this for well over a year. So, yeah.
Which email list did you use?
It would be the newsletter, the same city newsletter that comes out, I believe, once a week around now. But it'll be many, many other places as well. So that is what I'm doing. That's all I'm doing. Oh, and if you've seen the Oppenlander news, no, we don't have anything to do with that.
I since you brought it up, I'll ask the question, does the city plan to do anything now that the Oppenlander fields are back in play?
Plan? No.
Okay.
Nope.
Good.
Then if Kevin, there aren't any other updates or questions you have for us?
None that I want to talk about. I'll leave that to someone else.
We will turn it over to Darren. Give us an update.
All right, thanks for having me. So I'm here tonight to give you a brief update on the Vision 43 project, and also the waterfront project. So I will start with the Vision 43 project, and feel free to interrupt me and ask me any questions if you need some clarification. So again, I'm Darren Wise. I'm the principal planner with the city. Just want to sort of reset everybody to remind you what Vision 43 is. I'm not sure if the last time someone was here speaking to you about it or not. But the purpose of the project was, one, develop a new community vision for the Highway 43 corridor, focused on land use, not the actual structure of the road itself or the condition of the road, but the land uses along the highway. Collaborate with the community to shape the project recommendations. Also enhance biking and pedestrian connections within and to the corridor, especially focused on getting people to the corridor. So once the corridor is hopefully redeveloped at some point in the future, getting people safely from the neighborhoods by walking and biking and not having to take their car up to the corridor to shop or dine or meet friends and family. Expand opportunities for businesses, housing, and gathering spaces. So looking at new zoning along the corridor. And then ultimately update city plans and policies to support and implement the goals and recommendations. So that's typically zoning code, zoning changes, comprehensive plan, policy changes. And that's what we're in the process of working on right now. So yes, a few of the products being finalized right now, the vision plan itself. So that's looking at the corridor and taking all of the information we've gleaned from the community over the last few years and creating a vision document that everyone can refer to in the future. Zoning maps. So there were three focus areas. If you all remember the last time someone was here, three focus area, one around the Robinwood shopping center area. It's the commercial area down there, basically Hidden Springs and 43. The second one was around the Bolton Fire Station, the old Bolton Fire Station and the TVFNR station. There's several commercial businesses right around that little intersection. And then the third and final one is the market of choice, the Graymore development down there. So again, they're all the general commercial areas. There's a couple of residentially zoned properties that have been used for commercial purposes for decades. So we will correct that as part of the zoning, is to get them an actual zone that allows commercial businesses there. Let's see, and then development code update. So we've got a draft code where we're making some final amendments to it. And then I'll talk about how we're going to move that forward here in a second. Also looking at, again, the ped and bike connections into the corridor and then along the corridor, looking at what specific ped or bike, pedestrian or bicycle infrastructure projects would help meet the needs to get people in safely up to the corridor. So that's part of this project. Also, we'll end up with a map showing the preferred routes to get up to the corridor. Let's see. So some recent engagement that happened, we just held two open houses at the end of January and early February, again, focused on getting feedback on that vision plan itself and the proposed code amendments. We were really targeting pretty specific things in the code amendments, like permitted versus conditional uses. So what type of use would just be permitted outright and which type of use would have to go through a conditional use permit with the Planning Commission. Maximum height and setback changes currently along that in that general commercial zone along the corridor, you can construct up to 45 feet. We're looking at going to 55 or 60 feet. And so we're getting feedback from the community on whether or not they would support such change. Building and street frontage requirements, really focusing any new development on getting it up to the street and having amenities to invite people into the building from the street, as opposed to, you know, being facing away from the street coming off of a parking lot. And then design requirements around pedestrian amenities, really, again, like the front door facing the highway itself, awnings, walkways through parking lots and between buildings, and then other design type criteria around like pitched roofs versus flat roofs. The amount of window coverage on the facades, awnings and overhangs. One of the questions we asked was, how would people support a building being completely residential, or do they require, or do we want to require some kind of commercial activity on the first floor, like in a true mixed use structure? And so that was the feedback we were looking for. And again, bike and ped projects, which everyone seemed pretty happy with the bike and ped projects. Got most of the comments around the zoning code itself. So upcoming activities, again, we're going to get a final code amendment package together and the final vision plan document from the consultant team. We're going to go back for final feedback from the working group, from the neighborhood associations, specifically Bolton and Robinwood, since they're directly impacted. Let's see. Lost my place. The development community, we've been speaking with the development community, the property owners, since they are the ones that will actually implement these changes to make sure that they make sense and they're not prohibitive to what they want to do and actually help them and help encourage them to make changes to their current buildings or build new structures. And then finally, we'll have an online open house where anybody can come and provide their comments on the final development code that we then plan to take into the legislative adoption process, which will entail several work sessions with the Planning Commission. They will make a recommendation to City Council. Then City Council will hold their own work sessions, and then finally the public hearing to either adopt or not adopt the proposed amendments. We're hoping the Planning Commission will finish their work by sometime in the summer, and then we'll get to council late summer into the fall, and hopefully have this adopted by the end of the calendar year. So that is my brief update on Vision 43. So happy to entertain any specific questions if you have any.
I'd like to suggest to the board, I just pulled up the design doc, and I would encourage all of us to read through it. It has a lot of information. I wasn't just, you know, playing solitaire here. I had seen a presentation that you or somebody had done on it, and I just wanted to point out there's a lot of information in this. Take a look. Our biggest question to you, Darren, is how can we support you and this project, and what's the intersectionality between what Vision 43 is doing and the Parks and Rec Advisory Board? I know when you say, you know, bike and ped, you know, there's a little bit there because trails and so forth is part of our world. But from your eyes, what should we be involved in and how can we support?
So I would say two main focus areas for your group would be making sure that whatever and we've used the trails master plan, the parks master plan, the transportation system plan to identify routes that have already been identified as being important to the pedestrian and bicycle network in the city. So I would say just, you know, focus your attention on making sure that it makes sense to you. If there's a trail coming out of an open space somewhere, how do we get from that trail down to the corridor? And that's what we're focused on is making those, you know, connecting those gaps where it might drop you off on a street, no sidewalks, and it's maybe not safe for someone with young children to walk down. So, you know, making sure that you have that full connection from the neighborhoods down to the highway itself or up to.
So the Trails Master Plan was done 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was really based on maximum trail as opposed to optimal trail. Do you feel like we need to revisit that and review what is in that master trail plan as it relates to 43? Because one, it's quite old at this point, and two, I was around back then.
So were you.
Yeah.
And it really was. What's the greatest possible trail system we can have as opposed to what is the trail system we need and should have? So do you feel like we need to do any work on that that would set you up for success?
No, not at this point. So again, we took all the inputs, the trail master plan, parks master plan, transportation system plan, and plug those in, and then did the analysis of where the gaps were, and that's where the recommendations will come out of this plan, right? This is something that was missed in all those other plans to make sure that everyone has a safe route up to the corridor from the adjacent neighborhoods. So yeah, I don't think there's any need to do anything with the Trails Master Plan at this point, but it sounds like it's, you know, getting to its shelf life at this point, so. And then the second component would be, so I just quickly breezed over the permitted versus conditional uses. So that's one thing that we are going to change in the code. It's currently in commercial zones, parks and open spaces are not a permitted use. So we will make those a permitted use because we know the value of public spaces in commercial areas. Like, you can probably like think of one right off the top of your head where you've gone, where it's like, well, this is a nice commercial area. It's got a public space where you can go and get your food and go sit in the public space instead of having to sit inside in a restaurant or something. So integrating those into redevelopments is a key component of this effort too. And we wanted to make sure that that was something that wasn't going to be a hindrance if someone was redeveloping property and wanted to partner with the city on a, you know, an open space. So that I would say moving forward after, well, once we hope the plan gets adopted and the code adopted, if redevelopment projects do come in, you know, we can come to the Parks Board and get your input on, you know, design of things and location of amenities and that type of activity.
I'd like to ask the board if there are any, if there's any information or any involvement that you anticipate that we need to make sure that we're doing our part.
I have a couple of questions. So you have those sessions with the public, asking them what would they support and so forth. Is there a document summarizing there what they're?
Yes, the consultant team created a draft document. We're doing final edits to that also.
Okay.
But yeah, I'll make myself a note to make sure that we get that up onto the project page.
Great.
The Vision 43 project.
Yeah.
Page, so you can see the community's feedback on the questions.
Great.
I mean, like I said, we were very targeted in our questions for previously around that, some of the concerns around that.
Yeah. I think that'd be interesting to see. Just off the top of your head, what the 55, it's 55 feet, right, that you suggested. Off the top of your head, was there support for that or were people concerned about that?
It was 50-50.
Okay.
Yeah, it was either they came in, asked a couple of questions and had no issue with it, or they just came in and said no right away. So
yeah,
it's pretty much just 50-50
split. Yeah.
And we are now, as we're going through the code, exploring, looking at specific properties more closely. And you're all familiar with Highway 43. A lot of the properties are not very deep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Looking at properties aren't as deep or aren't as large. There's a lot of smaller properties along that corridor.
Right.
And maybe not taking those properties, exempting those properties from the 55 feet, just keeping it 45. And being really targeted around properties that we feel are big enough to handle 55 feet without encroaching onto the neighboring residential properties as much.
Yeah. I wonder how well people are able to visualize what 55 feet is, though, too.
So we did have some visualizations.
I remember, but
of course, in 2D, it's not the same.
Right.
But what we were using as an example of you go into downtown Lake Oswego in the Weiser blocks.
Yeah.
Right. I can't remember what the actual name of the development was, but
Wayward.
Yeah. Yes, the Wayward.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is getting up to that level.
Yes.
It's got the pitched roof, more stories.
Yes.
But they. You know, they implemented design standards to make it not look that tall by setting back that
box right.
A little bit. So when you're standing beside it, you're not just looking straight up.
Right.
There's all kinds of design
criteria
you can bake into the code to help minimize the visual impact of the tower.
Do we know how tall that cell phone tower that's cleverly hidden next to the church is? Yeah.
Tall that is.
Yeah, because I think that could be just about that.
I am not sure off the top of my head, but I can find out.
I think that would be a perfect, like, if that's how tall that is.
Right.
Very good point, Captain.
The last question I had, and I'll try to be brief. That's those same things. Well, off the top of your head, do you remember, was there support for mixed use?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been consistent through the through the couple of years of outreach. The general commercial zone actually is a mixed use zone. You can do residential above commercial right now.
Right.
It's just some of the other parts of the code are inhibit the ability to do that. I'd like to throw this one out there for people. Right now, the code has a maximum 50% lot coverage in the general commercial zone, which immediately limits your ability to do something if you need to park it. The only way you're really going to be able to park it is probably go underground, and that means utilizing the entire site, right? So yeah, it's already allowed. Mixed use is allowed, and
right.
Heard that consistently from the community that's what they want to see.
Okay, thank you. And thanks for, I mean, it's pretty impressive planning work, by the way. It's quite impressive, I think. I've read through the documents, and y'all have done a good job.
Well, we appreciate that. A lot of help from the consultant team.
Yeah.
All right, if there aren't any other questions, then Darren, also, next item is the waterfront project.
Thank you again. not as much exciting activity going on right now with the waterfront project, but I'll just again give you a brief recap of what happened over the last 10 plus years and where we're at now. So you're all don't remember that far back, but we did a full round of engagement from 2016 up to COVID, and had several open houses. Did a lot of work, and the result of all that engagement ended up being we broke the waterfront into three districts. There was the Historic City Hall District,
Cultural Heritage, and the Pond.
The Heritage District and the Pond District. Yes, yeah. Thank you.
I'm looking at it.
I haven't thought about this in a while, so. And we did that because each of the districts had very unique characteristics, right? Access, like the Historic City Hall District had better access than the Pond District and the Heritage District. Different resource issues in each of the three different districts. And then different view sheds from the three different districts. So that's the reason we broke it up, thinking it would be easier to manage when you got to the zoning and the zoning code. We developed guiding principles with the community for the project, and those were reinvestment opportunities, transportation improvements, river access, which is what we've heard consistently through the process, and then historic character. And then we ended up out of all of that engagement with a preferred transportation improvement concept. And that is the second roundabout, basically right where the gas station's at by Historic City Hall, and then rerouting the street through the mill parking lot instead of coming out of the roundabout going up toward the high school so you can go out and around. That's been adopted into the transportation system plan as part of the Langle Falls Drive concept plan that happened in 2021 or 2022, I believe. So that's the preferred transportation improvement. We will look at that again when we go through the next round of work on this project. But what we found at that time, the slopes were too steep to get out of the roundabout up the slope toward the high school. So we'll look at that again now that the mill is no longer in operation. Semi trucks don't have to get up around that curve anymore. So that could be. That could change, but we'll analyze that. So again, we were delayed by COVID for a couple of years, and then City Council provided us with funding to actually go out and hire a consultant to help us get this to the finish line, which was very, very helpful. So there was another round of engagement, 2023 to 2025. The consultant team developed a draft vision plan based on all of that engagement that was pre-COVID, took all of that information that we had gleaned from the community, put it in a document, said, is this accurate from what we were told previously? Got a bunch of feedback from public events and civic group meetings, online surveys, working group meetings. Took the feedback, revised the plan based on that feedback. Took that revised plan back out to some public events, really got in touch with the stakeholders, property owners to make sure that it was, you know, aligned with what their plans were for their properties in the future. Took that feedback into a final vision plan, did a final survey. Again, some more outreach to civic groups, working group meeting, a couple of open houses at the very end. And then brought it through the adoption process with Planning Commission and City Council. And City Council adopted the vision plan in November of last year, November of 2025. So now we need to move on to phase two. So for Vision 43, the two phases were done together. Did the visioning and the code amendment work all together? With the waterfront, though, we got to the vision plan, and now we're going to move on to a phase two of actually looking at zoning code, and other studies, like even like the roundabout, getting up out of the roundabout to up toward the high school, some more natural resource related survey, transportation related survey stuff. And we are applying for grant funding. We're in the process of putting together a grant application. We hope we can be successful and then again, get some consulting help to help us move forward. Again, the big thing will be looking at comprehensive plan, zoning map changes to the zoning all along the riverfront there. Comprehensive plan policy changes around some of the zoning changes that we would be recommending. Then development changes, again, would be the big one. Looking at design standards to see how the community would want the waterfront to look, what types of buildings they would want to see. And again, looking at height of the buildings and setbacks and all that kind of good stuff. One thing to note, which we needed to remind people throughout the process is currently you can go to 60 feet along the waterfront if you provide a trail between the structure and the river itself. So our intent would be to maintain that and not you know, take the zoning down where you would eliminate the possibility of someone doing something they could do today. So called down zoning basically. So we're looking at probably starting at that hypo.
So in the Parks Master Plan, and ever since the Parks Master Plan has been created, every year we have reconfirmed our priority to have river access and ideally a trail from our Willamette Park to the falls. And I know, I mean, I've seen the presentation. I have this one up now. And I really like how everything that you guys are doing. One thing that isn't as obvious to me is where does it speak to that vision of we want riverfront access, you know, once you get downstream from where Willamette Falls hits 43, getting a lot of residential. I mean, the Trails Master Plan, you know, once you hit a residential, it just is a kind of a no-go. And we, you know, that's okay. So our whole focus was that strip from Willamette Park to, sorry, I keep kind of almost.
That's all right.
Through, can you just speak to that and how that was addressed and what progress? Because before the waterfront project came up, before even Megan's time, there was a lot of effort on our parks director's part to try to get access and try to get easement and try to make that happen. Just if you can speak to how that was integrated and what progress has been made.
Yes, so the riverfront trail is a big part of the vision plan. So as a vision plan, it really didn't get into the details of how it was going to happen, just that it's preferred by the community. And I know the previous parks directors, I've been around here for a while too. So, you know, we've talked ad nauseum about it, about mm-hmm. getting basically past the settling pond for
Yeah.
the Westland Mill. It's relatively easy with easements and stuff. But then once you get to that point, then with the cliff face and the locks and everything, then where do you go? So that will get figured out in the future. I mean, the thought was always maybe to use the road that exists that comes down from Lamb Falls Drive. And if the Lamb Falls Drive improvements get implemented with the shared use path, then it could get you up and around and then back down into the commercial area there. So, you know, whether or not that's the ultimate outcome, that seems like it's the most feasible at this point in time.
And as this project continues, this is the area I think it's really important that we collaborate and make sure that we're all in alignment.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, and then there's also the possibility of the Lamb Falls Trust acquiring property and looking at doing some restoration and public access too. So it'll be a fantastic project to work on and a good collaborative project to work on.
Well, I know on the web page, there's all sorts of meeting minutes and notes. You know what our priority is in this. If there is something that's coming up, if you wouldn't mind shooting us an invite or hey, FYI, here's the information, or here's the link that you want to look at if there's any input that you have. I don't think that our board is regularly looking at the webpage and seeing what the latest is on these projects. So if you could just keep in mind what the intersection of parks, trails, recreation, and just, you know, send us a link or send us a, hey, this is what we're talking about. We would, I think I speak for myself, but I think I speak for the board. I think we'd really appreciate that because we want to be able to support you and be a good advocate for what you're trying to do.
All right. Yes, we will do that. We do try to make sure all the community advisory groups, the council points are notified when we do any kind of big events, but we can make sure to do some of the smaller events with you also. And one thing that you saying that one thing I just thought of is, you know, just throw it out there that when we apply for these grants, having letters of support, so something the board would.
We're all in.
Write a great provide a letter of support. Or could draft something up and work with Tara to get it to one of you to edit and sign.
That's great. Parks Board members, do you have any comments or questions or concerns with the waterfront project?
Yeah, I think the thing that just like Vicki talked about for a long time, we'd like to have a trail that goes along that way. Anybody that's ever tried to run, walk, or bike on Willamette Falls Drive knows that that's not some place that you want to do any of those three things. And so it would be wonderful to be able to spend as much time as we can, just like the little trail that we did make from Willamette Park headed that way. The idea was to somehow make that happen all the way through. And that Willamette Trail has been part of our parks plan for a long period of time. And we talk about it all the time. And there always seems to be an obstruction about going through wherever we're going to go next. And that it's sort of like it's one of those things you kind of say, well, it'd be nice to have that, but that's never going to happen. But it would be nice to have something like that, because if we could communicate from along the river, okay, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
So if you look at that trail that we made, you know, a few years ago, that's there, it's only about a mile long. It does have access to the river. You can see the river. It's a nice trail to go on. And the goal was that we were going to start with that and go further, but then lots of things got in the way of us being able to do that.
Yeah, and that was a consistent feedback from the community was access to the river, the riverfront trail. So it's a, yeah, we tried to make it a prominent part of that vision plan.
Right.
Awesome. Any other comments, questions, board members? Okay. Darren, is there anything else that we can help support you on or that we should know that maybe we don't?
I cannot think of anything off the top of my head, but I thank you for inviting me here and I would be willing to come back anytime and talk to you about any planning subject you want to discuss.
Thank you. We appreciate you taking the extra time tonight to join us. Megan, from your perspective, is there anything that you'd add on these projects?
No, not really. Just it's even more than trails, right? Think of the water access and the recreation and the parkland that could come from this. It's really exciting. So that was my answer of no, of having no additional comment, and I added one.
Awesome. We really appreciate your time, Darren. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have our arts and culture group. If you want to come up and take the mics, you're going to have to push the button to make sure that you're being heard and recorded. Or you can sit there.
When it lights up green, it's working.
Yeah. And they're not very good. You have to be kind of close. You have to move it close.
For having us, been working with Megan for a few months now on this project, and so we got to a point with the Arts and Culture Commission. First of all, I'm Julie Matheson. This is Shifting Break. And we both are co-chairs on the Arts and Culture Commission. So we've gotten this project to a point now.
Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't get it on that side.
We are ready to loop you all in, give you an overview, a broad overview of this project, give you a little bit of the history of how this came about. We got the idea from Vision 43, actually, with all the work that's being done with that. It kind of inspired us. So I think it was last summer that we completed our installation of our first permanent art piece down in historic Willamette. It was the bike kiosk art installation that we were able to use Westland's percent of the arts budget and put out a call for art and select an artist and work with him to install it. So that was really exciting. And so coming around to our second piece, we decided to focus on another part of Westland on Highway 43. And so we have been meeting for the last few months, probably about 9 months now, with representatives from the cities of Lake Oswego and Oregon City, as well as with Clackamas County Arts Alliance. And we put together a concept of the Willamette Corridor, connecting communities through art. And so the idea is, you can read it in the first paragraph here, it's a Tri-City Public Art Initiative uniting Westland, Lake Oswego, and Oregon City along Highway 43. The project envisions a cohesive series of permanent art installations in key public spaces along the highway and connecting paths, celebrating the region's shared history, including Indigenous heritage and the stories of the communities that shape this place. The initiative is funded through each city's percent for the arts program and coordinated with the Clackamas County Arts Alliance. So we've gotten now to a point where we've selected our first pieces of art, one in each city. Lake Oswego has selected and gotten approved through City Council their first existing corridor artwork, which is the Lotus Tower along Highway 43 near the Merrillhurst area. We've all passed by that, I'm sure. And then Oregon City, they're finalizing their first selected piece, but it's one of several pieces near the Oregon City Westland Bridge. So we're kind of anchoring Lake Oswego and Oregon City near Westland. And then at our last meeting a few weeks ago, the Westland Arts and Culture Commission, we selected our first art installation. We went into the meeting thinking we would select two pieces, one near Lake Oswego, one near Oregon City, but after discussion, and Megan actually did some great work in putting together six different selections that we chose from. So we kind of looked at all six locations. Upon discussing this with the group in our last meeting, we decided that we would just start with one. And the reason for that would be we selected Hamley Park right along the highway for its high visibility location, which would kind of be a great way to start building public awareness, to have something that's really highly visible and provide momentum for the broader corridor. And then we decided also that a single call for art would be better than doing two at one time. We'll kind of start small, take off a small bite and go from there. And then we're saving some of our additional sites that Megan helped us scout for future consideration. And so as you can see on the handout on the back, there's a picture of the location that we've selected along Hammerly Park. And we just wanted to present that to you to start to loop you in because it's city-owned property. It's a park. And we've just kind of started to bring up some questions to consider. And I put these questions in here under site and property considerations, site parameters that the board can help define, and then installation and ongoing maintenance. So we put some questions in here. Megan indicated that maybe we would need to kind of dig a little bit deeper to get answers to some of these questions, but we wanted to bring it to you to start here. I believe City Council had an update on Tuesday night from Councilors Brick and Broner. And then our next step too would be to come to, I think you said. Oh, Robert. Okay. Okay. So we will be going to Bolton. So we'll be going there next to make sure that we get buy-in from all of the appropriate groups before we put out our call for art. But we're hoping to put out a call for art and start the process of identifying an artist and kind of deciding what we want that to look like, looking into the history of that area. So we're just bringing this to you tonight to welcome questions and input and, just see if there's anything else we can do to give you more information on the project.
And if I could note, we are very aware, since both of my kids went to Bolton, that how well all of the play structures are used and everything there. So we are definitely keeping kids in mind for anything we do. We will not be having sharp things that, or really tall things that they can jump off of. So just know, as we put this in here, that is absolutely forefront of our mind. Just want to make that a little bit.
No lead-based paint.
Correct, correct. And we'll leave that
the edges.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Because they'll climb on about anything you put up. So in this space, what sort of area are we talking about? How big a space are, I mean,
I can't tell on the map. Where's the site?
I can actually answer that. That hasn't been fully decided. It's going to be somewhere at Hammerly where it makes sense. We're going to be looking at that, where we have potential irrigation issues, location where it can be mostly visible. So that hasn't been fully vetted out. I think it also might be a little bit determined on the piece of art that we get. We might look at a couple sites. I'm thinking this through out loud, but we may look at a couple sites when we present it to the artist for their, and see what works best, right? So, yeah, but the idea is kind of somewhere near around the place structure in that area where we have open lawn, looking at our long-term maintenance for mowing, you know, things along the trees, where should that go? How can you be able to access it, you know, by either, you know, by a pathway for accessibility? So those will be things that we'll be looking at, but we haven't gotten that detail that far.
Yeah. I have a question, and you just said it's not planned, but I've spent a lot of time at Hammerly, scrappy baseball games.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And mm-hmm. I wonder if a little extra effort can go into, and maybe this is something that council might consider, if we're going to invest in a piece of art and there's a lot of space at Hammerly, you know, you have the play structure and you have your baseball fields and you have your pickleball courts. But instead of kind of sticking it in and planting some daffodils around it, actually building something around it that is paved with seating and other things that are going on, mm-hmm. maybe a water art or, you know, fountain type of thing where it becomes a gathering area, a communal mm-hmm. community area that's like a mini piazza that could be built around the art to just really set it as something apart. Because when I think of Hammerly, the spirit of Hammerly to me are those scrappy baseball games mm-hmm. and Christmas trees.
Yes.
And, you know, if we're going with the nature of that park, mm-hmm. the art would go lean one direction. But if we maybe take this opportunity to re-envision what this could be, and maybe look at funding or grants that might make it something a little bit more, where the art is the focal point, but we actually have a larger vision around it. I don't know if that is in alignment with maybe what you were thinking, but yes.
I like that idea because this is kind of the inaugural piece to really anchor the entire project as it extends into Lake Oswego and Oregon City. It's kind of Westland's, we're the center. So I like that idea a lot. Just to add one more piece to it, when we do start putting, you know, Katrina's working on, this is just kind of fun to show you because it's a work in progress. But we
To be decided. I don't have enough for everybody, but at least you.
We're in all three cities with some sort of signage, like a plaque. We'll actually have a website with, so a QR code on that plaque will take you to the website. It will give you the history. It will give you the artist profile. It will give you the history of the piece, why it's important. But coming back to your idea, I actually really like that idea.
And I love that you also have honoring our indigenous communities. And, you know, I just automatically go to falls and fish and, you know, something that pulls it all together. Yeah. But then there's, a place that's paved or concrete or pavers or whatever. And then, you know, seating area to make it a gathering, something special.
I really like that element, actually, the gathering thought, because we know, I mean, if you all have been there, you've been playing pickleball, you have to wait, and then the kids want to play. So people are always looking for places to sit and gather, and sometimes there will be a party, you know, so you can't go sit in that one. So I love that thought of being purposeful with the art and gathering. I think that's quite lovely. And we can make it really fit with this community. We don't want it to stick out like sore thumb. It needs to be so lovely and thoughtful to really fit in there. But I know, Megan, are you passing out at the thought? But I will
say, no, I just think of the money. Like, so arts and culture has the art money, and then we have to figure out the planning for the other piece. I love the idea. Yes. It's just that they're two different funds of money. Okay.
And I bet that if it's pavers, we could get a whole bunch of Eagle Scouts to lay pavers. I know it's like, liability, but
the idea is to kill grass that you don't need to cut.
This is all about
long-term sustainability.
Maintenance dollars.
Yes.
Okay.
Pavers, no.
It's just, you know, if the city's going to invest in art, which I think is fabulous, I think all of us are huge supporters of that. To actually leverage this opportunity and making it a much more high impact, meaningful investment. And I'm not joking. You know, I go to Fields Bridge and I love the little heron, but, you know, it's always kind of in a circle of dirt with some daffodils. So it's just, I love the idea of just making the most of this investment, as opposed to, we have some money, let's get something and plug it in a park, which I know you would never do. I've worked with you. You would never mix.
We'd never do that. We've got a good group.
Well, and even from our perspective, we wouldn't do that either.
I know. It's just, I know that community gathering spaces is a major priority for the council.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a neat opportunity to re-envision beyond scrappy baseball.
Yes, and enhance.
Description of the piazza. Just in Italy last summer. Yes. So European and these beautiful gathering places where you can hang out for hours.
Exactly.
I'll hang out there, the people that are, you know, so I love that descriptive word. You need to remember that.
I know, I will.
And I guess we would look to council as to how to kind of marry those two, you know, those are going to be two different funds, you know. So working together to create something a little bit bigger that supports this piece of art, I think would be great, but I think it's worth exploring. So.
And grants, we can always look for grants. So there are some coming up, I think, because it's you know, anchored with the art. We could tie that in, and especially if we bring in the culture, there are some definite grants out there that we could be very purposeful. So it would not be.
Source, and then we're also working with Diana Alves and
yes, Clackamas County
from the Clackamas County.
That's great.
Yeah.
To proactively think about how to tap us into some grant money that's not necessarily we need to use the percent for the arts funds from each city to pay for each city's art installations, but we're looking to apply for grants to pay for kind of the overarching project. So you know, website promotion and that sort of thing, but maybe there's some grants we can kind of tie in to make this a little bit bigger of a
anchor. Great. I love it. I often walk the Tualatin.
Yes.
And the wayfinding that they have is excellent. I love the whole concept of a corridor. So I have two questions. One, with that big berm that comes up from the parking lot,
yeah.
Have you thought about, I'm sure you've thought about the visibility issue and the second visibility from 43. So you have that as a connector. And so my question is visibility. My other question is not knowing what's going to happen with the school.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about that? And the visibility, I'll be interested to hear what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Love the idea. 100%.
I actually was thinking about that for Bolton. Do we think, is there a possibility of selling it? Selling the property?
I think the thing that's the questions is we can't control what happens to there, but the either point, we still have our park. So regardless of what happens there, our park is our park.
Yeah.
So if you look at the activity that's there, I don't know how it would impact.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Yeah, I've heard rumors about some people interested in buying it, but in terms of placement, you may want to be further away from that area,
yeah.
Not being able to control who goes in there.
Right,
so
that's true.
You'll have no control over that.
Yeah.
And if it's a bar or if it's,
so
just bringing that point up.
Oh, no, that's it.
How about visibility from 43?
That's a really good point too, and so that's why we're here asking for input, because it always helps to bring in more diverse perspectives. But that's, you know, Megan, we've been trying to kind of come up with a plan how to go in and identify exactly where. So we will, that'll be kind of our next step, is really identifying the exact spot that is that has the most visibility. Because that was the reason we picked Hammerly, because we wanted to pick spots to
Central.
Start with that was most visible along the corridor.
Central. Is that piece there still where the musician designed that sort of teepee-shaped music thing that kids could play on?
Yeah, that's still there as a play feature. Yeah, and I think the berm would not even be a great idea for lots of different reasons. Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Can't see visibility.
Oh, and
the
I
visibility issue with the berm coming
yeah.
up so far.
So that was my one thing to think about. We were talking. So if you look at all the locations, the idea wasn't that it was the 45-mile drive by to see it. Like that's in some of the locations, like the Lake Oswego at one is you walk by and see it, but you can visually see it as you drive by. The other five locations are not on 43. They're right off 43 in Parks property. So the idea is that you're wanting to get people out. Yes, they could see it, but the idea is that they get out and explore and visually see it standing, not driving by. So there's like, we looked at McLean House, we looked at Mid Hill Park, we looked at Robinwood, so that even though it's along 43, it may not be on 43, right? So, but the connector is the road. Did I say that right, me too? Okay.
I would never suggest putting a piece of art on that road. 1,000 years.
You'd be called precarious, indeed.
So yes. Diana, Chris, John, do you guys have any questions or comments before we continue on?
Yes.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, if you want to see a piece of art, you probably don't want to do that while you're driving 30 miles an hour.
You shouldn't really.
Looking at the art, you know, I mean, the idea that you might want to drive off 43 into a parking lot and head to that, that makes more sense than just looking at it.
And that's the long-term vision, is the wayfinding, you know? There will be basically a trail that you can follow.
Yeah, signage. Yeah.
But you can, you know, take your kids and you can go and look at all of the pieces along the entire corridor and learn about the history of the area while doing it.
Well, we want to definitely be connected, collaborating in alignment with you and your plans. I've seen a few efforts over the years to optimize these funds. And I can't think of anybody who will do a better job. I mean, seriously, I'm excited that we can actually take advantage of this opportunity. And I know personally, if you want like somebody from the Parks Board to, it's like, I volunteer.
I love it.
I'm very excited about this.
Thank you so much.
The opportunity it poses. I'm sorry, Chris, John, anything else?
Could I add a couple of kudos to this group, the Arts and Culture Commission? It's been great working with them.
They're amazing.
And the focus and, you know, knowing that it's a relatively young commission, to see the way that they've come together to outline their projects and their goal and vision has been really exciting to be a part of. The other piece, I don't know if you know, but they are helping us provide art and culture within our Parks and Recreation programming. So they attend our concerts to be able to provide some art for kids there. They also come to our holiday bazaar, and we're looking at other ways. They also do certain activities at the library too. So that's how both departments are really getting the benefit of their heart and effort into the art, bringing it and culture into the community, not just from just the commission standpoint. So we're very lucky, and thank you for that.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
were
that
you
is
part of those art lectures at the Adult Community Center? The woman who came and talked about
I missed that. Oh,
I went to
darn it.
Yeah.
Oh,
history,
oh, cool.
Historical.
Yeah. Did they record it by chance?
No, they were awesome.
Well, and I would just add as a final note that, you know, please let us know how we can collaborate with you throughout the process. You are always welcome to come to one of our meetings, you know, if you, you know, want to come and just or request us to come and give an update to your meeting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, we want to over communicate, and we're doing the same thing with our representatives from council. And as well as the neighborhood association will be the next meeting we go to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's great
so much. Yes, good to see you all. Thank you.
Thanks for inviting us.
Awesome. We have lots of visitors. Thanks again, and keep us in the loop. And Shatrine, if you don't remember, Vicky Handy. Okay.
I remember you,
Shatrine. Yeah, you're awesome.
Up there, ready to run.
Hey, we'll be there.
All right. So if we can go back to our agenda, we had just a fast check on the Parks and Rec plan. I didn't get any emails with feedback, but were there any changes?
No, it looked great.
Looks good.
Really. Yeah. Oh, okay. So we're all Diana. All right. And I just need to get the.
Yeah. So I did send that. That's in the updated one that we sent out.
Okay. Oh, good.
But then I just went through the street market. I'm still waiting for the special event permit to come through, but I saw the date changed slightly on that.
Okay.
If you want me to update that, that would just be the one.
Just shoot me an email.
Yeah,
I'll
just let you know.
Do it and then turn it into a PDF and send it to council.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That's great.
Boom.
Good job.
Thanks. Great team. And then we have our events and rec up park and no events and rec update. Oh, Well, yeah, I was going to say, we built this when you were going to be out of town. So we'll just say all update. You're on.
Well, yes, I was supposed to be out of town this week, so hey, I'm here. I will make sure to email you. It did not occur to me beforehand, but council did approve their the final goals for the next 2 years. A change that they did for us, which was great, was originally it was the indoor rec center was a goal, and now it's been switched to community gathering spaces. There has been obviously the talk, we've talked about Tanner, but it was left in general so that we can talk about that at any park or any area that we might want to be able to expand on. So that was exciting. The other area that has parks or PRAB has some, will have some connection with is under the environmental and sustainability section. I was able to put my kind of concerns and wanting to make sure we're proactively planning for emerald ash borer and Mediterranean oak borer. So just starting at the education out with the community as well as that proactive planning. That was exciting. The other part that was still listed in there in the sustainability section was gas powered blowers in general, not just talking about the department, but the city. So that was listed in there where SAB is taking the lead, but there might be some outreach with PRAB over time. So that was what was listed, but I'll make sure to email that to you. I put a note to myself so you can see those, but I was excited with what we had in there. So we'll be bringing at some point in time our scholarship policy that we're updating, and we haven't had a review of it in quite some time, and we've had some help with it. So Tara will be bringing that at the next few months or so, whenever we're feeling a little bit more polished on it. There was a lot of great review that was done, looking at other agencies, looking at its overall intention and how it's applied. And so a lot of research into figure out tried and true methods to be able to apply it and make it as easy as we can to give it to those who need it. So I'm really excited for that to be. So that'll be coming up as a policy that you had asked about. I'm in the process right now. I've mentioned this a couple times, I believe, so I apologize, but we are doing our STC update because it had been quite a while since it's been reviewed, as well as our development is slowing down. So we want to make sure that that rate is correct for our developers as they're developing. And then tied with that, I'm working with a consultant to go over what's called a conditions assessment of parks, which essentially is that deferred maintenance plan that I've been working on. They also, there's a potential to be able to get funding to support that through the land grant that's going out through state parks right now. And so we'll be working with them to apply for that grant to be able to get that work done. So that ties into that large, yes, it's very, very. It's so exciting. So the part that's important about those two pieces is what I've been trying to work on the last few months is building our long-term capital improvement plan and looking at those SDCs. But you can gather data, but you've got to have the bigger story. And the story does come talking to the community, talking with PRAB, you guys, to talk where do we sit with our projects that we have? When everybody looks at our funding situation, the first thing they think about is we can reduce cutting grass and we can reduce maintaining beds. But we have all of these expensive assets that are actually our safety issues that we have to consider. And so looking at that long-term planning, the two pieces will come together, and it will probably take about this year to be able to get through, but it's really exciting. And then I'm hoping to be able to fund that separate outside of this is looking at our facilities conditions assessment as well, to look at all of our 11 buildings and how we'll be maintaining those for years to come. So we can really look at having a holistic approach to the budget. The piece that I'm trying to do with the parks conditions assessment is that it almost will kind of dovetail. It's a piece that's actually missing within our master plan. All of those documents, usually a master plan on the back, has capital improvements and a kind of a long range planning, a bit lofty, right? But looking at where we should be going with what is suggested in the plan. This I'm asking them to kind of make it as almost like an appendix of, so it's using the master plan as its guiding document, but then looking at where we fully sit with our actual assets right now and what the long-term planning is. So I'm really excited to be able to tie those together. So it's not something on its own, but it's tied to the master plan. So we'll be applying for that grant this next month. And the nice part is we have a consultant, we'll be able to spend a little bit of money to get potentially $50,000 to pay for that plan and program. So very, very excited for that.
My interest in that is to turn it into an amendment to the master plan.
Yeah.
The original master plan actually did have that, and the city council at that time very specifically directed us to remove it. So that I think that that would be a very good amendment to our master plan, and we should be looking at it as such.
Yeah, well, and part of that will also discuss our service levels, right? We have a service levels that are listed in the master plan, but they're maybe not really exactly how we're taking care of those lands right now because of the change, right? Since the time it was written. So that will be able to be developed in there as well and ultimately guides to our funding for the future. So very exciting. Part of this where you're dreaming with at Hammerlee, this is still in the works, but we do have Metro local share dollars that are sitting there that we were wanting to tap into. The people that work on that project are so supportive and so helpful. It's a pretty tedious application to fill out, and what they're doing for a lot of agencies who haven't been able to apply, they are working on an IGA that cities can say that we are agreeing to be able to tap into this money, but we just need a little bit more time. We need to have that done by July. So we're already we'll be getting to the works to be able to get that information to council. They're finishing up that document to get to us and other cities who have that money sitting there. And then we'll be going through the rigorous outreach to be able to figure out what projects would meet the criteria. And then there's a lot of community outreach. So things like updating Hammerlee Park, Tanner Creek Park, anything at Willamette, those things will all come up. And then we have to do outreach to the community, and it will tie into what council is looking at for their goals in general. But we're just trying to get to the IGA to say that we want to use that money. We have the means of using it, and that could be some of our increase. And we know that there's maintenance costs to go along with it, but the improvements are really exciting, and it would be deficiencies that we don't have. So it's pretty exciting, the opportunities it could be. So getting that in peace so that we have the money earmarked that yes, we are wanting to use it, and get that agreement together. So that's exciting stuff. I just keep running. The last one I wanted to mention and ties to arts and culture. A lot of communities, the historical piece is tied to arts and culture. And the Westland Historical Society is working with us. They'll be kind of working through Tara of doing a series of different activities with historical educational pieces down at McLean House. So it's really great. So we're going to be partnering with them, essentially tying into the programming that they're doing that we're not able to offer, and then using their resources and their education and knowledge and their costumes to be able to bring that to the community. So that's another piece that we're extending, that it's again using our partners where we can't do the work ourselves, and you know, elevating them to be able to do it. So very excited of those activities that'll be coming on this summer. And that is what I had for my parks updates.
So I just have a question. Will all of those updates then be just put in the newsletter, or how will the community learn about some of those things?
From which updates specific? The ones I just mentioned?
Well, yeah, exactly.
It'll come through as they start. It will. The SDC update is just behind the scenes occurring. Yeah. The conditions assessment, we're working with a consultant. I'm just waiting to get some approval to move forward on that project, which I'm going to have because of the grant. We're going to apply for the grant, and then it's very common to get that funding, which is exciting. So fingers crossed. But then there will be outreach within the consultant to be able to start coming and doing that communication, whether it's in newsletters, coming to meetings, and getting some of that outreach together. The main piece of it is we're trying to get the condition of where we're sitting now, but when we're looking at potential opportunities, that's where that outreach will come in.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. Exciting. Yeah.
This year. It's gonna be busy. All right, so for events and rec, the most recent one is Lucky, our little leprechaun event out there, a little passport. Not sure if you've seen kids out and about looking for Lucky, doing their coloring. Good turnout. They've been bringing them back here to City Hall and get their golden ticket. So we'll draw seven winners, lucky number seven, next Tuesday. So we'll give them some prizes. We just finalized our summer brochure, so that will be out in the mail late next week. So we're going to get those in their homes by spring break. Registration opens April 8th. We are starting our summer hires next week. Ooh, it's kind of scary to think about. So yeah, we've got recreation opening up March 18th, and I think Parkside also. Yeah, we're trying to do those at the same time, so we'll start to get our seasonals coming in. We're working on our Earth Day workday. We have our Arbor Week. We'll give out some trees the first week of April, And we have our heritage tree dedication that we're going to do April 7th down at McLean House. We'll put together a flyer and then send you guys the flyer for and an invite for that. So hopefully you can make it down there. So we'll dedicate that at McLean House. And ACC is just busting at the seams for programs, exercise, support groups. I mean, they're doing awesome over there. So yeah, I think that's about it. Yeah, a lot of behind the scenes. Yeah, Heron Watch on Sunday. That'll be their first one. And thankfully, it looks like it's going to be dry. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, 1 to 3. Mm-hmm.
Diana, are you going to have to go?
Yeah.
So I want to cut to Megan. If you saw her email, will be leaving. And I want to celebrate her. But before we leave the projects, I would love it if you could give an email to the Parks Board around all of the balls that you have rolling. Because you have just contributed so much to the city and to this department and put so much energy and so much innovative thinking into making things happen. And I don't want to see any of your efforts fall along the wayside. And you have so many things going on. Help us to continue your legacy.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I was just showing my list. I am leaving. I want the next person to come into my footsteps to be able, and the staff currently, to have a strong list of what is in the process, the contacts, some history on it. To me, that is so important to leave that for that person to feel like they're being successful and the department, number one. But I want to, oh my gosh, I really want to thank you all. Like, you have made my transition for being a director here so easy, as far as being feeling supported, being willing to help. And when I needed help, you were there. And we've had some difficult times as far as just challenges that we've had to kind of overcome with just trying to get the right decision moving forward. And I just cannot tell you how much I deeply appreciate that. I was like, I wish I could take everybody with me. But thank you for supporting me and our department so much. It means the world. I'm so proud of what the department's doing, just the great hearts that we have. And for you taking your time once a month to come and be with us, I'm so grateful. So thank you.
You have been simply amazing. And I know, I speak for myself, but I bet it's for the whole board. We're devastated at the thought of losing you. And we do have a gift for you and a friend to take with you, and a little card, and then some little cupcakes to celebrate, because you have been amazing, amazing contributor, turning things around. And I just wanted to make sure everyone had a chance to just share and recognize what you've done for us. So.
You bring that to the next anti-ice.
March 28th.
That's what I was going to say, but I'm not getting space for it.
35 years.
No.
It's only a job for more than 2 years. Smooths all.
Yeah, you want.
It's a natural progression. So we could expect that, but yeah.
I mean. You have to do what's best for you. We appreciate it. Thanks.
So unless there's any other items of interest or feedback from our Parks Board members, that closes our meeting today. Thank you. Our next meeting is April 9th, and we will be without our great leader here. So we'll just make the most of it.
Have to struggle through.
That's seriously going to be difficult. So closed.
Yep.